I got a word for us today, and it is a burning word in my belly. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to go back a little bit from where we're at in the soap. We're going to go back to Genesis chapter 18. So why don't you follow along with me? I'll be reading out of a New King James. You do not have sermon notes this week. I'll get them for the app this week so you can get them. But I wasn't planning on preaching, but the Spirit of the Lord just stirred this in my heart to deliver it. So I'm going to give it to you, and I pray that you could receive from the Lord. Father, as I open my heart and I just pour out, God, I pray that you would just anoint my words, that I would speak the truth, and that it would penetrate hearts. I pray that you would anoint ears to hear it. And God, it will set the tone for where you're taking us in 2019. We give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, go with me. I'll read out of a New King James, but this is Genesis chapter 18 and verse 17. The Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm doing?" I don't believe God's going to hide from us what he's going to do. I think he's going to reveal it through his prophets. I think he's revealing it prophetically through the land. I heard God say in my spirit that this was a year for breakthroughs, and I was watching online, and it was, I got to think of what his name is. His Spanish pastor, one of the biggest, largest Spanish churches, not Maldonado, but it was, Rodriguez. What's his first name? Samuel Rodriguez. I was watching a podcast, and he was just in his car driving, and he was just stopped, and he got out of the car, and he said, "The Lord just spoke to me that this is a year of the breakthrough. This will be a breakthrough year." My spirit was just leaping inside of me, because God is not going to hide from his servants what he's going to do. We're living in the last days, and there's an outpouring of the Spirit of God for the body of Christ that you and I can walk in that is going to change the climate of where we're at. It's going to change the atmosphere. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm doing? Since Abraham shall surely become great and a mighty nation, and the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I have known him, in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they may keep the way of the Lord and do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring Abraham what he has spoken to him." God began to speak to my heart that that he is going to reveal unto us that there is a blessing to be released through our lives to our children and our children's children. God said, "I know Abraham." Now that's a powerful thing for God to say, "I know you." I want you to know something. God knows who you are. He knows you, and he has confidence in you that you will release the blessing through your life. God says, "I know Abraham, and he will command his children." Not as a drill sergeant. I mean, I grew up in an environment where my father, when it came to the things of God, he was like a drill sergeant in our... he was just so militant in it. And I don't want any of you to be that way. I want you to command order in your home, but do it in such a loving and godly way that your children are honored that you're guiding them. And that you're not trying to force them to be anything. You're showing them the love of God, and they're seeing the fire of God in your life. And it will create a passion and a zeal that they will never get away from. God said, "I know Abraham. He will command his children in everything that I have spoken to him." If you and I will get connected to our true identity in 2019, if you'll make an effort to say, "I want to be everything that God has called me to be." If you and I will get connected to our true identity in Christ, everything is going to change for you in 2019. I want you to say this: everything connected to me is about to be blessed. Come on, say it again. Everything connected to me is about to be blessed. Everything that has my DNA in it. My children, my grandchildren. Last night during service, they got here like after the second song. As soon as Tegan got in here, she had her little princess tiara on. She had her princess dress on. She ran down that center aisle, threw her arms up to me and said, "Pop!" I just grabbed her, hugged her, twirled her around, and let her down. And I'm telling you, Brooke, she danced all over the front of the stage. She was down here dancing and twirling and lifting her hands and praising the Lord. And I'm like, I looked at that and I said, "You know what? That's my DNA. That's my DNA in her. When God brought you to this church, Rich, God wanted me to impart my DNA, his DNA, into you so that you can live and do business the way God intends you to do business. That you walk and carry an anointing that everywhere you go, the blessing of God flows through your life. Everything that has my DNA in it is about to be blessed. It's not an accident that we're in Naples, Florida. It's not an accident that God sent me here. I am not puffing myself up. I'm just here to tell you there is a DNA in me. There is a power of the blessing inside of my life. And God wants me to release it into your life so that you live following Christ. Paul said, follow me as I follow him. Everything that I touch is blessed. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Everywhere that I go, the blessing follows my life. And you've got to get, renew your mind to think that way in 2019. You're blessed. Your business is blessed. Your workplace is blessed. Blessed. Just because you work for them, they're blessed. Everything connected to me is about to be blessed. Your marriage is about to be blessed. Your home, your family is about to be blessed. Why? Because we have the power to be a blessing. Let me show it to you in Scripture. Go to Genesis chapter 12. This is really a message for all of you that have children who are struggling. I've been there. And I still have family members that are really struggling to find their place in God. And I'm speaking over them and declaring over them, you are in my family, you are connected to me, we have the same DNA, and the blessing that is on me that I received from my Father, that I live in the blessing of my Father and my Heavenly Father, now flows through down into my children. This isn't a hype you up weekend. This is really a word from the Lord. And I pray, I got a word on it. I pray it'll speak to you. You need to get a revelation of this in 2019. That everything connected to you is about to be blessed. In Genesis chapter 12, the Lord said to Abram, get from your country and from your family, from your father's house to a land that I will show you. He didn't give him a lot of details, did he? He just said, you go do what I'm telling you to do, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I'll bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. And in you, all of the families of the earth shall be blessed. In you, all the families of the church shall be blessed. Listen to me. God calls families. When he called you, he was calling your entire family. I love the saying, nobody left behind. You and I need to realize we ain't leaving anybody behind. I'm not leaving cousins, nieces and nephews, uncles and aunts. Me and my household shall be saved. The fire of God shall pass down through me. The blessing shall overtake my children and my grandchildren. You can't tell me that Lot wasn't blessed just because he was related to Abram. Lot entertained the blessing just because he was connected to Abraham. And I'm telling you, when you connect and partner with this church, the blessing of God is about to come over your life. The healing of the Lord, the fire of God, the passion and the zeal of God wants to be released into our families. It wasn't just for Abraham. It was for Isaac and Jacob and their families on the earth. Go with me. Let's look at it in the New Testament in Acts chapter 3, verse 24. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 24, yes, all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these things. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To you first, God, having raised up his servant, Jesus, and sent him to bless you. Sent him to do what? Sent Jesus to what? He sent Jesus to bless us. Why? So that we can be a blessing in turning away everyone from your iniquities. Walking in your true identity is the key to passing the blessing to your family. Walking in your true identity. Who did God make you to be? What did God save you from? What did he bring you into? He brought you into a new kingdom, into the kingdom of God. You don't operate and function by the things of this world any longer. You got to renew your mind. You weren't called to walk in iniquities. As you and I get more connected to who we were made to be, what's going to happen is the supernatural is going to be released through our bodies and through our life, and everybody connected to us is about to be blessed. We believe the gifts of heaven are available to all believers, and their demonstration is a natural extension of the Christian life. It is normal to be supernatural. In Hebrews 6:13, for when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself. This is Hebrews 6:13, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. What was he saying? That this isn't just for you, it's going to multiply out of you, and the blessing will be handed to everybody you come in contact with, everybody that you touch. The blessing comes just because you're in the atmosphere. Everything connected to you is about to be blessed. Listen, it's going to take supernatural to accomplish the will of God in 2019. It's going to take supernatural families. 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 Your children that are just running, your children that are not where they need to be, your families, your parents, people that you know belong in the kingdom of God and who are living for the devil, God's about to bring them in because of your walk and faith in God. Family life is more complicated now than it's ever been. I'm just telling you, there's more knowledge being pumped in. It's more complicated than any other time in history. We have a generation that has more information coming at them than any other time in history. And many of our children are dealing with situations and circumstances that we didn't have to deal with till we grew up. They're dealing with it at 10, 11 years old. Because of the time that they live. It used to be that if you were concerned if your children were out of your sight. I remember the day when mommy, she had to want to sit on the porch to be able to watch us to play. As long as we were in our sight, she was comfortable. But when we got it out of her sight, she would holler, Gregory Glenn, I'm right here. See, but nowadays, the day that we're living in, it's totally different because children can be in your sight and be in a different world. See, they can be connected to stuff now where even if they're in your sight, and it's a complicated time. But I'm not here to put fear in anybody's heart. I'm here to tell you, if our children are born into this day and age of technology, then God has raised them up to be world changers and that they have the ability in them to change their world. And I'm not in fear over the time that they're living in. I'm here to say God's going to release them to a generation and they are world changers and life changers. And God saw fit to bring them into the world at this time. There's a plan and a purpose for their life, and it's to grab the blessing and to pass it on. Everything connected to me is about to be blessed. Listen, it's such a different time. They can change the world. We all can change the world, but it's going to take supernatural help. Why? Because there is a devouring spirit loose on the earth. There's a devouring spirit, and the Bible makes it really clear in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 11. The word says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to produce fruit in your field, says the Lord of hosts. All nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. The Bible tells us in the New Testament, there's a devouring spirit. In 1 Peter 5:8, said, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. If you read that text, what it tells you is there's some of us that he can't devour. He's seeking whom he may devour. But when you and I are walking in the identity of Christ, when we know who we are, when we are fully persuaded of who we are in Christ, and we're not operating by the systems of this world and by the thinking of this world, the devil cannot devour you or your seed. I know people don't like to talk about the adversary, but there is a truth. There's an adversary that wants to destroy your seed in 2019. And prayer connects you to God. Fasting disconnects you from the world, which opens the door for the supernatural in our lives. In 2 Chronicles 7 and verse number 1, the Bible says this, when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offerings and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. What are you looking for in 2019? How about you just start believing that the glory of God is going to fill the tabernacle, that you are going to be filled with the fire and the passion and the zeal of God, that you're not just coming to church to hear a word, but you've been attached to the power and the glory of God. The priest could not even enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And look what happened in verse 3. When all the children of Israel saw the fire come down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed their faces to the ground and on the pavement, and they worshiped and they praised the Lord God, saying, "The Lord, for he is good." This is how the blessing gets handed down from generation to generation. When the children and the grandchildren see the fire of God on pop, when my grandchildren look at me and they see me with tears running down my face, praising God with all of my heart, and they say, "Hey, that's the Spirit of the living God," and it'll cause them to dance and twirl before the Lord. If you and I can realize, get in your identity. You were not created to be fighting sin all the time and being just always warring against the devil. You are mighty in Jesus Christ. You are more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ. And the great God of Jehovah God wants to bless your life. And he wants to pour through you the blessing on everybody that comes in contact with you. It's the power of the Holy Spirit being released on the earth. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, continuing on down in verse 11, when Solomon had finished the Lord's house, when he had finished the house of the Lord and the king's house, and Solomon successfully accomplished all that came into his heart to make the house of the Lord and his own house. He's giving us a divine connection between the house and the house of God. In his own house and God's house. You need to get connected in 2019. You've been here for a while now, and you don't hardly know anybody. I'm just telling you, if we get connected in small groups, if we get connected in life groups, if we connect in connect groups and serve groups, you and I will get connected, and we will be a force on the earth for Jesus Christ. The Lord appeared to Solomon, verse 12, by night, and said to him, "I have heard your prayer, and I have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up the heaven, there will be no more rain. Or I command the locusts to devour the land, and I send pestilence among my people." Pestilence is a usually fatal epidemic or disease. This is what's running rampant through our land right now. It's a fatal epidemic. It's a disease. It is an evil influence. It's an agent of the enemy on the earth with a plan to seek and devour whom he may. And God said, when you see all these things happen, when you see what's on the earth right now, he said in verse 14, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from the wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, and I'll heal their land." If you would just commit yourself to walking in your true identity, this is the power of connecting in 2019. Everything connected to me is about to be blessed. If a man or a woman or a parent or a grandparent will connect themselves to God, God will take notice. God will take notice. I got a few scriptures for you here. If you have your Bibles right now, flip them to Isaiah 44 and verse 3. Come on, everybody go there and read it and mark it in your Bible, because this is a word for you. And I know it's 12:30 already, and I'm trying to hurry. 12:35. Isaiah 44 and verse 3. Said, "I will pour my spirit on him who is thirsty. Floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit out on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring." This is a word for you. I will pour my spirit out on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring. Psalm 112, verse 1. "Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights in him greatly, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on the earth." Your descendants will be mighty on the earth. Wealth and riches will be in his house. and his righteousness endures forever. Listen, the subject of blessing is mentioned over 600 times in the Bible. The subject of cursing is mentioned 200 times in the Bible. I think God wants us to get the message of the blessing into our lives. This makes the blessing a major theme of Scripture. A generational blessing is the blessing is by which is meant to be passed on from one generation to another. And it should be passed on. There's something powerful happens when you speak the blessing over your children. There's something powerful that happens when you grab your grandchild or your great-grandchild and you hold their faces and you speak the blessing over them. In Matthew chapter 3 and verse 16, Jesus goes down to the water to be baptized. And as John baptizes Jesus, there's a spirit descended like a dove upon him and an audible voice from heaven that said, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased." And at that point, it transformed Jesus' life. He already knew that God was well pleased with him, but when he heard it with his ears, when his spirit heard it, it was something that happened in him. The power of blessing is so powerful, it can destroy the works of the devil. Speaking the blessing. Listen, the spirit of the world is identified in the Bible. It's all through the Bible. When you begin to read the Bible, you're going to see where the spirit of this world is identified. In Ephesians 2, verse 1. "And you he made alive who were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom you once conducted yourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, just as the others." It's talking about the spirit of this world, the devouring spirit of this world. In 1 John 4, verse 1, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they be of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already on the earth." The spirit of Antichrist is on the earth. It's the spirit of this world. In 2 Corinthians 2 and 12, "You've not received the spirit of this world, but the spirit of him who is from God, that we may know the things which have been freely given to us by God." The spirit of this world has come, and it's come with force to try to steal our seed. The spirit of the world, you say, well, what is the spirit of this world? What is it? It has to do with the value system of the world. It has to do with the belief system of the world. It's possible to come to church, pray a prayer, and never change your value system. It is possible that many of you in this room come every week, sit here under the anointing, hear the message preached, and never change your value system. You still value the same things that you valued before you came to faith in Christ. And I'm here to tell you, that's the spirit of this world. There is a transformation that has to come in the body of Christ. When you come to faith in Jesus Christ, you're not just giving God your heart, you're giving God your life. Like, you're committing yourself to a new way of thinking and a new way of living. It's coming out of the world and into God's kingdom. And everybody in this room needs to say, you know what? I got to search out and find the spirit of the world in my life, and I've got to annihilate it. I do not want to operate and function under the spirit of this world. I want to operate and function in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light that drives out darkness. There's so many people that attend church and still live under the spirit of this world. I'm going to give you four things about the spirit of this world that can help you to understand what we're dealing with. If you want to connect, if you want everything that's connected to you to be blessed, you've got to break off the spirit of this world. Period. You can listen to this message about, man, the blessing, I want the blessing. Well, let me tell you something. The blessing only comes to those who will commit themselves to living in the identity of Jesus Christ. The spirit of the world has to do with denial. The spirit of the world is the spirit of denial. The spirit of the world is a mentality that denies the existence of God. The Bible says this. The Bible says, "The fool has said in his heart that there is no God." I'm not saying that. The Bible says that. This whole spirit of atheism and humanism is the spirit of this world. And that spirit is so prevalent in our school system. It's so prevalent in what's being taught in our schools. They teach our children things that are totally against the values of their parents. The spirit of this world is so prevalent in the school system. They teach our children that, and we have been afraid to stand up for anything. We can't put this all off on everybody else. The body of Christ has been silent. We don't say anything. That they would teach our kids evolution in school. The concept of evolution, which has been tolerated in our schools, it's the spirit of this world. Listen, one thing has never turned into something else. One thing has never turned into another thing, ever. Ain't no frog ever become a dog. Come on, no lion has ever become a tiger. Come on, no man has ever become a woman. It's the spirit of this world that wants to make you think that somehow we've evolved and we come from monkeys and animals, and what you do is you take away divinity. You take away my identity in Christ. See, because I was created in his image and in his likeness. And when you teach a child that they came from a monkey or an ape or some beast, now all of a sudden you say, you're on the top of the food chain, but you're still in the food chain. And I say, no. I was not created in the image of a monkey or of a beast. I was created in the image of God. He created me in his likeness, and he likes who I am. God never makes mistakes. Well, you know, I was a mistake. I was supposed to be a girl, but I'm really a guy, so I need to go get this fixed so that I can be more of a woman. It's like, God ain't never said, oops. He never said, oops. God never said, no, I never thought of that. He doesn't make mistakes. In Genesis 1 and verse 5, and God made the beast of the field according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Everything reproduces after its own kind. The purpose of evolution is to deny God. It's the spirit of this world. They want to stand in God's world and say there is no God. Once you buy into evolution, you remove the deity from hearts of people. When you remove the image of God from them, and you take away the value system. And so now, all of a sudden now, teenagers will get in a fight and steal somebody's tennis shoes and actually shoot them to steal their tennis shoes. And we say, why would anybody do that? Because you've been training them that they're in the animal line. They're in the animal line, that they came from animals. Why is there no, it's like this whole concept. It's denying the deity of God in our hearts and in our lives. Animals operate by instinct. If you come in their turf, they will bite you. If it's mating season, they will mate with you. They don't care what you are or who you are. And this is what we've produced on the earth right now. This whole mentality that somehow trying to have morality without God. You cannot have morality without God. There is no morality without God. The second thing the spirit of this world is it devalues life. It devalues life. When you remove the dignity of life, it leads us somewhere. It's hard to believe that people could be in church, lift their hands, and sing when you walk into the room, everything changes, and believe in their heart that abortion is okay. Come on. It's like under getting this into our hearts. It's not okay to take the life of an unborn child and call it a choice. You can't raise a generation to devalue life and wonder why they will get in road rage on the road and shoot somebody for no reason. You can't expect that you could train up children to devalue life and think that somehow they're going to put some kind of value on somebody's life. It's nothing. It's survival of the fittest. It's the spirit of this world. I know these are tough issues, and I just want you to know I'm not a motivational speaker. If you want a motivational speaker, go Google it. Buy a good book. I mean, I'm not just doing this. I'm not running for political office, so I'm not trying to impress anybody. I'm not after your vote today. I'm just telling you, there's a spirit of this world, and the church has married up to it and partnered up with it. I didn't choose this for my career, by the way. This wasn't my career choice. This was a holy calling that he called me and appointed me, and I'm here to speak the truth to you. If we want to pass the blessing, we got to disconnect from this world, and we got to stop trying to align ourselves up with the world. Number three, the spirit of this world also functions in hostility and antagonism. This world is so anti-Christ. Anything to do with Christianity, they're opposed to. The spirit of this world wants to celebrate anything but Christianity. They believe that everything's all right but Christianity. It's an angry spirit. It's an angry spirit on the earth right now. It's the spirit of this world. And when you feel yourself getting angry and mad in your heart, I want you to know something. You're lining up with the enemy's thoughts. You ought to have some fight in you. You ought to have some passion in you. I'm not asking you to be a doormat, but I'm asking you to put everything in order. There's no reason for you to be screaming at each other in your home. For you to be screaming at your children, screaming at your wife, and yelling and fighting and throwing things. My mom threw stuff at me all the time. I had frying pans thrown at me. I've had shoes thrown at me. My mom couldn't catch me go up the stairs. She'll fire some up the stairs and whack me across the head. I've been through all that. And I'm telling you, in the body of Christ, we need to realize that's not who we are. You ain't got to be throwing stuff and breaking stuff. When we first got married, Bobby got so mad at me one time. She was so mad at me, she grabbed the TV remote, threw it against the wall, shattered it. I thought I was going to die. I was so mad. We ought not live like that. Listen, when you smash your finger with a hammer, you ought not to be cussing and yelling and screaming. If it hurts, oh, Jesus, thank you, God, Holy Ghost. Oh, Jesus, God, help me. Oh, Jesus, help me, Lord. Not cussing and yelling and screaming and just mad at everybody because you hit yourself with a hammer. You mad at everybody else. How is that the body of Christ? It's the spirit of this world. It's an angry spirit. Number four, the spirit of this world is a spirit of mixture. It's a spirit of mixture. A little bit of God on Sunday and a little bit of the world on Monday. Huh? I bless you in church on Sunday. I'll cuss you out in the parking lot if you pull out before me. Come on. It's a spirit of mixture. If the world can't get you to deny God, it'll get you to attempt to marry up with the world. When you have the spirit of the world on you, you mix prophecy and psychology, astrology in the same basket. It's like you get a prophetic word on Sunday and you eat at the Chinese restaurant and get a prophetic word in your fortune cookie. Oh, he says, I'm going to meet somebody nice today. Come on, you have a little bit of Holy Ghost and a little bit of sorcery. And that's just the spirit of mixture. You got a cross and a rabbit's foot. I'm an elder and I'm a Virgo. It's all in the church. It's all in the church. I can watch porn and I can read my Bible on the same device. Yeah. And people think it's all right. They don't agree with it. They know they shouldn't be watching it, but they've mixed it. And it's like, okay, because I can do all that stuff and I can still praise God because God loves me and he has a plan for my life. Yes, he does love you, but he wants you to line up and drive the spirit of this world out of your home and out of your family. It's the spirit of this world that says it's okay not to love your wife. I just don't love it. You can't. I can't tell you how many people have said in my office, "I just don't love him anymore." And I understand it's the spirit of this world. It's listen, love isn't a feeling. It's a choice. You can't tell me we all get this, and we get this, and 53% of marriages end in divorce in the church. Why? Because it's the spirit of mixture. Proverbs 11:1 says, "Dishonest scales are abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight." You can't be Sunday morning for God and Monday morning for the devil. It's a mixture. Leviticus 19:19. This is Old Testament, but let me show you in Leviticus 19:19. "You shall keep my statutes. You shall not let your livestock breed with another kind, nor shall you sow in your field mixed seed, nor shall a garment be mixed with linen and wool come upon you." This was an Old Testament concept that was being taught to the children of Israel. He's saying you can't mix this gospel. In Deuteronomy 22 verse 9 says, "You shall not sow in your vineyard with different kinds of seed, lest your seed yield which you have sown and the fruit of your vineyard be defiled." Look at verse 10. "You shall not plow with an ox and a donkey together." The King James says ass. It's a "you shall not plow with an axe, with an ass or an ox together." Now you can just take that for whatever you want to take it for. Listen, Jesus said the same thing in Matthew 9 and 16. "No one puts a piece of unshrunken cloth on an old garment. No, for the patch pulls away from the garment, and a tear is made worse." What's he saying? You can't mix this thing. You can't be in and out. You can't be hot and cold. You can't do it. You got to sell out to God. If you want the blessing to go through your life and into the life of others, you have to radically commit yourself to be a different person. Stop blaming everybody else for what's going on in your life. Take ownership. I have got to be who God's called me to be. Revelation 3:15, "I know your works, that you're neither hot or cold. I wish that you were hot or cold. So then because you're lukewarm and neither hot or cold, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth." It's the spirit of mixture. It's the spirit of this world. And 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Baal? And what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as I have said, I will dwell in them, walk with them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean." Stop mixing it. You don't have to have a glass of wine to fall asleep. No, Pastor, don't get on the alcohol thing. Listen, it's destroying lives. And we talk about, well, if I just have one glass of wine, it'll calm me down. How about one word from God to calm you down? How about the Holy Spirit of God filling your life and infilling your life to bring you to a place of total rest? Just saying. You don't need it. We make excuses and we just allow things to go on. Listen, a just weight is his delight. Parents and grandparents and church need to work together to pass the blessing to the children. Don't chase the blessing, chase the blesser. This is a word for you. Don't chase the blessing. Chase the blesser. Get your identity in Christ. Who are you? Who were you created to be? How were you created to live? You were not created to line up with the ways of this world. You are not like them. You are different. You are other. You've been called into his glorious kingdom. And the power of God wants to be released through our life on the earth in 2019. Everything connected to me is about to be blessed. If you believe that, just stand on your feet and shout that to the Lord. Everything connected to me is about to be blessed. The spirit of this world has to be driven out of our minds. We do not function like they do. We do not do business like they do. We don't live like they do. We have been called into a glorious kingdom. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The peace of God rules and reigns in my heart. I refuse to mix this gospel with some soft-spoken, watered-down gospel. Some of you in 2019 need to stop smoking cigarettes. I'm just telling you, you need to stop smoking cigarettes. You telling me cigarettes are going to send me to hell? No, nothing has the power to send you to hell but you. It's not going to send you to hell. It just makes you smell like you've been there. I had a conversation last night with somebody that came up to me and started talking to me, and their skin reeked of alcohol so bad. Their skin just reeked of alcohol so bad. And they're Christians. They love God. But it's a mixture. It's a mixture. Just saying. Like all of us, if we're going to hand this down to our children and our grandchildren, if they're going to see in us Jesus, we got to be radically committed to him. All in. Everybody that's all in 2019, just lift your hands to the Lord. I'm all in, God. Listen, I'm just saying, we all need to start looking into our lives and saying, what things can we do without? What things do we need to disconnect from? Don't leave out here with just guilt and heaviness on your heart or condemnation on your heart. You know, let the Holy Spirit just speak to you. But I'm just saying, there's some things that we allow in our lives that we don't need, that we could get rid of, that would constantly be a light to somebody around us. Everybody just put your hands down for a second, please. Nobody lifting your hands. And everybody bow your head to the Lord and pray. Pray for the person right behind you that you can't even see right now, the person right beside you that you don't even know who they are. Would you just begin to pray right now that they would respond to God's love by giving their life to Christ? There were so many people with the boldness to give their lives to Christ this morning in the first service. And I pray somebody in this room would have the boldness to give your life to Christ. I think almost everybody in the room at one time or another has made a decision to follow God. That's why you're back in church today. But there's a lot of people in this room that you're living with a mixture. And the truth is that you're just lukewarm. And God said, if you're lukewarm, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. Jesus said that. It's written in red. And I just want to speak to your hearts. You know, last night when Tegan ran in, my little granddaughter, when she ran in, she's 4 years old. She ran in, and the first thing she did was throw up her arms to me and say, Papa. And I just grabbed her and swooped her up into my arms and just twirled her in the presence of the Lord. I believe that there's some people in this room right now and some people watching online right now. You've allowed yourself to be so disconnected from God because of the spirit of this world. God said, hey, I want your life this year. I want you. I don't want your heart. I know you have a heart for God or you wouldn't be in church today. He said, I want your life. I want you to get your identity right and know who I am in you. I'm going to ask you right now, while we're all praying for somebody in this room around us, that the Holy Spirit would just speak to your heart and that you would respond to God's love. If you were to die today and you're not sure you'd go to heaven, I want you to just like my little granddaughter, I just want you to lift your hands to God right now and just lift them up, just saying, Papa, I love you. Come on, there's hands in the back. There's hands all over the room. Just lift your hands right now and say, Papa, I love you. I want to be real. I want to be real before you. I want this year to be my greatest year ever. God, I want to give you my life. Come on, you guys put your hands down for a second. Put them down. Just put them down. I'm going to close the service and we're all going to walk out those doors. And there'll be a different atmosphere when you get out there. But the atmosphere is right in this room for miracles. You didn't lift your hand because of the lies of the enemy. You're afraid of what people are going to think, or you're just afraid that you won't be able to live this thing. So you don't want to lift your hand if you're not all in. And you feel it, but you're like, I don't know. I just ain't going to lift my hand. And I'm here to tell you that this is your opportunity right now to respond to God's love. Take the opportunity. If you did not lift your hand, but you know that God's really tugging on your heart hard right now, would you just lift your hands, both hands to God? Just hold them up. Come on, you didn't do it the first time. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you in the back, buddy. I see you. I got you. I got you. It takes boldness to follow God. This is not just like, you know, pray a prayer and leave out of here. This is like, it takes boldness to follow God. I'm asking everybody in the room that lifted your hand to come kneel before God. Just to come up to this altar and kneel before God. If you would, turn to somebody and ask them, did you lift your hand? I'll go with you. And why don't you bring them right now to the altar? Everybody, let's clap them in. Let's just believe God that people are going to step out. Everybody that lifted your hand to the Lord, come now. Come on, come now. Come on, step out of your seats and come now. Come kneel before God. Come live God's life. Come live His life for you. Come experience His goodness. Come experience His forgiveness. Come experience His love. Be real. Give God your life. No more mixing it up. No more spirit of this world. No more lies of the devil. Come. Come. Follow Jesus. Disconnect from this world. Give me some prayer warriors to come get behind them right now. Just come get behind them right now. Let's worship the Lord together. Somebody get in front of them and just talk to them and say, look, I know why you've came. I want to pray with you a prayer that changed my life, and lead them in a prayer of God's love. Ask them to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Ask them to confess that Jesus Christ has come to give them hope. Come on, let's worship the Lord while they pray.